Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you proud of where you come from? Are you shaped by where you were raised? I think today is a day where it's good to be Ohioan, right? Ohio Buckeyes, they won yesterday, all right? And today's a great day to be a Browns fan because they're undefeated. All right. You know, I'm from Nebraska, and I'm in mourning. I told myself I wasn't going to get pulled into their football season, but they went to Boulder, Colorado, and they lost to the Colorado Buffaloes. And I'm just like, I'm wearing black today underneath this white robe. Just, I'm grieving. But, you know, sometimes I'm proud to be a Nebraskan. But there are things that each one of us, as we think about maybe where we're from, where we came from, that maybe we aren't so proud of. Ohio is one of the highest states per capita of opioid addictions and youth and deaths. There are things that happen that you say, ugh, I wish I was a little bit further away from Akron or from Cleveland or from Columbus or Dayton. I wish I could be from somewhere else. But the truth is, as long as we say we're citizens of this world, we'll see the fallenness, the brokenness, the destructive events that happen because we people live in these states, in these world. And all too often, we live for ourselves. Today, I am so excited to be starting a new series called Madgenick. Madgenick. It's a word that you don't hear very often. Can you say Madgenick? Madgenick. It's actually a word I kind of made up, all right? It's kingdom backwards. Okay, maybe you figure that out. But I'm going to be talking about this backward kingdom of God. Because as much as we may be from Ohio or Nebraska or wherever, we are also citizens of God's kingdom. And this changes who we are, how we see ourselves. It changes the hope that dwells within us. It changes our identity, that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. God looks at each one of us and says, you are my beloved. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. When I see you in Christ through faith, you're perfect. You're holy. You're my beloved child. You might be looking at your kids next to you and say, there's no perfection there, all right? But God, when he looks at us in Christ, he sees us in his kingdom as perfect. And so we pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, every week. But I really want to focus on one line of this that we're going to kind of draw out throughout these next 8 weeks that we're going to say, I know this isn't thy and the but the, you know, this is the way it's in actually in our Bible. Let's go ahead and read this together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're saying, God, you reign in your kingdom. We want your kingdom that reigns in heaven to come where? Down here to earth. Let your kingdom in heaven come down to earth. God's kingdom is wherever he's present, wherever he's working, forgiving, saving, redeeming, bringing people to Jesus. In heaven, everybody worships Jesus. Everybody worships and serves him. How about on earth? Does everybody worship, serve, love the way Jesus has loved them? How about you and I? Are we perfect, loving and serving as Jesus has loved and served for us? We all fall short. And so even our prayer is, God, let your kingdom, let your spirit come into my heart and my life, that I may not live for myself, but I may live for others as you have loved me. So let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so what does this mean? What does this look like? Jesus was a storyteller. And so he shared a lot of stories to try to explain what the kingdom of heaven was like. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet, all right? Sadie, you're getting married, aren't you? All right. Do you think at your wedding banquet, people are maybe just going to sit around on their phones and, oh, she's married. Woo. You will? Okay, Brian. Okay. We'll see if you get invited, right? All right. So hopefully, Sadie, right, we'll all gather together and celebrate because of the promises that you and David are making before the Lord, that you pledge to be husband and wife in his love, living in his kingdom together. And that's a reason to celebrate. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding reception where everybody is invited. And we are all given clothes, the clothes of righteousness in Christ. And the best of meats and the best of wines are there. Come and celebrate that Jesus has come and has conquered. Isn't that a cool picture? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Another time Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found this treasure buried in this field. And so he went and sold everything that he had. He sold his house. He sold his Jeep. He sold his big screen TV. Okay, that's not in the Bible, but I'm just kind of pretending, all right? He sold everything that he had. Why? To buy that field, because he knew that treasure was worth more than everything else he had. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that when it is planted, it starts out small. But then it grows and grows and grows, and birds and the birds of the air can make it nest and live in there. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows seed. Some falls on the hard path and a rocky soil and soil covered with weeds. But some of the seed falls on soil that is rich and dark. And the seed that grows there produces a fruit 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Jesus says that his kingdom of heaven is like a little bit of yeast, that when it's placed in the dough, it works its way through the dough so that that dough can rise and nurture. I've heard somebody say that yeast is kind of like hope in the life of a Christian, that when we take this little bit of hope that God gives us, that even though we have trouble in this world, Jesus says, I've overcome the world. This hope that God is with us, that God is for us, that God loves us. It bubbles up in our heart, in our life, in our soul, that even in the darkest of days, we know God's with us. We know that nothing can separate us from his love. The kingdom of heaven is like Jesus talked about all these different things. That this is just kind of my analogy, though. It's like a multifaceted diamond, that you see all of these different sides and corners and cuts of the diamond. You can't just look at one part of it to understand it. You have to try to take it all in. And so Jesus wants us to know that God's kingdom is for us. That God's kingdom is part of who we are now. That we may be from Ohio or Nebraska or wherever, but part of our identity is now we are from God's kingdom. We are God's children, redeemed and loved and forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the next 7 weeks, we're going to unpack Modgnik. We're going to unpack this because in God's kingdom, more is less. Can you say more is less? More is less. Usually we say more is more, right? More is more. We always want a little bit more. But in God's kingdom, Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will do what? Lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will find it. For what good is it if a man gains the whole world and yet he forfeits his soul? Jesus says, my kingdom is a great treasure. It's worth anything, more than anything in this world. Don't lose your soul thinking that more is more, because more is less. In God's kingdom, we also fear that others are first. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's not about what I can gather, what I can accumulate about who I am, but it's about putting others first. The Bible says that, you know, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't only think about your own affairs, but look out for the interests of others in what they are doing. And so in God's kingdom, we live not for ourselves, but we live for others, seeking to help, to encourage, to lift up. I love the men and women that stood up here as Sunday school teachers. What a cool opportunity to pour into the lives of these kids. You guys can do this too, can't you? By being coaches, by being mentors, by being grandparents who pour into the lives of your kids, by watching out for your neighbors, by helping others in their time of need. How do you feel when you put others first? It's great when you know that you're making a difference in others. Jesus knows that in his kingdom, we are buoyed up when we help others. Jesus, when he was about ready to die, he gathered his disciples, and we hear this in Matthew. He says, you know about the Gentiles. They rule over you, the high officials, they exercise authority over you, but not so with you. You're different. You're citizens of God's kingdom, not so with you. Instead, if you want to become great, you must become a servant. If you want to be first, you must become a slave. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give up his life as a ransom for many. When Jesus came, he was thinking of you. When Jesus was sent to earth by his heavenly Father, he was obeying his Father who loved you. For God so loved the world, God so loved you, he sent Jesus to save us. Not us, but others first. And so Jesus says, in my kingdom, if you want to be great, you humble yourselves, you descend into greatness. There's this humility in God's kingdom. When you remember, it's not about me. More is less. I'm putting others first. Being great is putting others first. Having the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Jesus had this attitude that even though he was God, he didn't demand himself to be fully above all things. But he emptied himself. And he took on human flesh. He became a servant and appeared in human form. Jesus lowered himself even to the point of dying on the cross. Jesus showed us humility. Jesus showed us that when we humble ourselves, we can trust God to lift us up. Jesus humbled himself. He died on the cross. And what happened the third day? He rose. What happened the third day? He rose. God raised him up. Sometimes that's a fear of ours, isn't it? If we don't demand our way, if we don't look out for ourselves, who's going to take care of us? Who's going to take care of us? God will, right? So we humble ourselves. We descend into greatness. God's kingdom is also a place where generosity flows, where we give and we receive, and we receive and we give. God's kingdom is also a place where the glory doesn't come to us, but when we shine, we want to shine so that the glory goes to God. Jesus says, you, people of Talmadge Lutheran Church, you are the light of the world. And God has placed you where you are at so that your good deeds may shine a light upon your heavenly Father. It's like this great big spotlight, floodlight, all right? Where if you're Andy Wall, do you have a big old flashlight that shines really bright? Yeah, all right? You shine this light, not on yourself, but on who? On God. And so we shine our lives not to us, that the glory goes to God. And finally, God's kingdom is not like a fortress like this, a fortress surrounded by a moat. And if I had a fortress, I'd make sure it was surrounded by alligators too, all right? What's the whole purpose of a moat and alligators surrounding a castle? To keep people out. God's kingdom is inclusive. God's kingdom lets people in. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all people. No matter the color of their skin, no matter what's happened in the past, Jesus wants all people to join him in his kingdom. And finally, Jesus didn't come as this mighty military leader. He wasn't another Caesar. Jesus came as a king on a cross. Jesus suffered and died to show that he truly was obedient to the will of his Father. And so the last Sunday of this Magnificat sermon series, we're going to focus on a Jesus who is our King, who showed his love, his humility, his obedience, willing to die on the cross. And so this is God's backward kingdom, Magnificat, that we may together celebrate who we are, sons and daughters of a king, so that when Jesus is lifted up, when we look at the cross, that all people may be drawn to him, that all people may know that Jesus is king. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being a king who is willing to suffer and die on the cross. That's not what we expect of a king. That's not what we expect of anything, anyone from this world. But Jesus, you were sent by your Father, and you thought of not yourself, but of us. Help us to be like you, to live with that same love, that same obedience, that same desire to put others first. Lord, when we are asked to be humble, help us to know that we descend into greatness. Lord, let your generosity flow through us into this world, that you get all the glory, not us. We pray, O Lord, that you may use your church on earth to bring glory and praise and honor to the name of Jesus Christ, now and forever. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.